you. This has been a public service announcement. Our next announcement is brought to you by the Society for Metaphysical Thinking, which wishes to remind you that playing horseshoes is not the same as playing hand grenades. It has been said that all men are created equal, but is it true? Maybe we all start out the same, but we don't all end up the same. For instance, would you let your neighbor's kid go to a hospital and operate on people's brains? Would you let the gardener fix your computer with a wire brush? No, of course you wouldn't. So the next time someone tells you that all men are created equal, ask them to accompany you and the kid to the hospital to prove it. This has been another public service announcement.
And now, it's the Scooter and Biff Show. Hello, friends, and welcome. We now invite you to listen in on another episode in the adventures of two regular boys named Scooter and Biff.
Hey, Biff. Thanks for coming over. What do you want to do today?
I just want to be a regular boy like you, Scooter. What do you want to do?
I don't know. Hey, let's ask my mom for some cookies.
Great idea. I do believe I saw some in the glass cookie jar on my way in.
Mom, can we have some cookies?
Why don't you boys go outside and play? I'm busy ironing coupons. And besides, more sugar will just make you crazy.
Us crazy.
Okay, Mom. Just thought we'd ask. Say, what's that song on the radio?
That's an old song by the Beatles, one of the best bands of all time. Oh, I remember when I was young listening to all their records. I especially like John Lennon and Paul McCartney, the lads from Liverpool. Ooh, they had money, I tell you that. I predicted I'd marry Paul, but I was wrong. I guess I'm not a very good psychic. Now run along. I've got to vacuum the dog and make some cranberry sauce.
Well, I guess we aren't getting any cookies that way. What do you want to do now?
I was thinking about that song. The Beatles must be pretty cool to write songs like that. Maybe we should fire up the time machine and go back and visit them. Maybe they'd write a song about us.
That sounds like fun. Let's get into our big cardboard box that doubles as a time machine / spaceship and see what happens.
After you. And here we go. Alright, as soon as the smoke clears, let's get out and look around. I set the controls for Liverpool, so they should be pretty close by.
Good idea. Can't wait to meet the famous Beatles. This smoke should clear in a moment.
Will you look at that?
It's a giant swimming pool. But what are those big brown things floating in it?
I'm not sure. Let's run over and have a look, shall we?
Let's do that. Ugh, it smells pretty bad. Reminds me of something, but I'm not sure what.
Yuck! You know what those things are floating in there? They're livers.
Ew! I hate liver!
So do I. My mom made me eat it once. I'll never forgive her.
So this must be the famous Liverpool. See any Beatles?
No, I don't. I don't want to hang around here. Brings back bad memories.
Okay, back to the ship.
Biff, you set the controls this time.
Roger, Wilco, Captain Scooter.
We've landed. Okay, once the smoke clears, we shall resume our search.
I've got a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
You idiot, we were never in Kansas to start with. But this jungle looks kind of familiar. Let's go exploring.
It's kind of dark and spooky out here. Hey, what's this? Looks like a little bird's egg.
Well, don't think you're gonna eat it here. There's no stove.
Just put it in my pocket and save it for later, then.
I'm gonna get you dead!
Oh, great! You sent us to Jurassic Park again! Run for your life!
Right behind you!
Support WGTD by becoming a member of the Wisconsin Public Radio Association. Contributions are accepted online by going to WGTD.org and clicking Contribute to WPR or by calling 800-383-9772. Thank you.
This is Wisconsin Public Radio's Spring Membership Drive. I'm Ruth Ann Bestman with Gene Purcell, and this is your chance to support the music you love, the music that's so important to your day on this radio station. These on-air fund drives account for a sizable part of the funding for Wisconsin Public Radio, so your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2889 right now is very important.
We've got a dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,500 in effect right now. It's being offered by current donors, including Stanley and Shirley Inhorn of Madison, who would like to encourage you to become a new member of Wisconsin Public Radio. That means that your gift of $50 turns into $100, $100 turns into $200, and so on. So take advantage of this match to make your gift go even farther in paying for programs like Classics by Request. Get your pledge matched
thing. And she's kind of strange for saying she wanted to marry one of those things.
Don't talk bad about my mom. She may not be a very good psychic, but she's right once in a while. Like that time she predicted I was going to punch you in the arm.
I remember that. It was kind of amazing. But still, I don't see why people pay her. And that crystal ball. I stared at it for half an hour once, and all I got was a headache.
Hold on a second. I think we should get rid of these bugs before they poop or something. There's no way they're going to write us any songs. Let's throw some rocks at them and make them go away.
Okay. Take that.
And that.
Let's get back in the time machine and go home. I'm still hungry, you know.
Okay, quit your whining. Let's get back in and fire it up. And shut up about my mom. Well, it's good to be back in the 21st century, isn't it? Take a deep breath of that fresh air. Oh, I wonder how long we were gone for.
It may have been a century for all I know. Maybe your mom is an old skeleton. We can get those cookies ourselves.
Let's go in and see. Hey, Mom, are you dead yet? We want some cookies.
I thought I told you boys to go play. You've been gone less than 5 minutes, and here you are again. I predict that if you don't get out of here and soon, you're going to get your butts paddled all the way to the moon.
I don't think I'd like that very much. But then again, I've never been to the moon.
Shh! Don't give her any ideas. Let's go play in the abandoned paint factory.
And quit slamming that screen door!
So, what do you want to do?
I always wanted to ride on a submarine.
What? I know. Let's go back in and ask my mom for cookies again.
Great idea. We can probably wear her down eventually.
Hey, Mom. Can we have a few cookies?
No. The last time I thought about giving you cookies, I had a bad feeling about it, so I checked my crystal ball.
And what did you see?
I saw myself running out of cookies. Now go outside and play. I need to unload the turnip truck.
Oh, all right. Let's go, Biff.
I thought for sure we'd get a few that time. Your mom should be a comedian.
Probably next time for sure. And shut up about my ma. Say, what's that you have in your hand there?
This? It's the egg I found last time we took our time machine to Jurassic Park.
I see you didn't eat it after all.
No, I was thinking we might get to hatch it and grow our own dinosaur or whatever comes out.
Great idea. We need to make it hatch.
Right. Any ideas?
Well, you could sit on it for a couple of weeks. Or do something to heat it up, but not too quickly, or you'll cook it.
Let's take it to the laboratory inside our time machine / spaceship, which we made from that large cardboard box we found, and experiment on it.
Great idea.
Here we are again.
Yes! Let's try wrapping the egg in aluminum foil and put it in the special grow box and put the light bulb over it.
Roger, Wilco, Captain Scooter, and I'll just turn the light on here.
I'll set the control for fast so we can make it hatch before today's episode comes to an end.
Today's what?
Ah, never mind. Hey, I think it just moved.
Look, it moved again. I think it's trying to hatch.
Okay, take it out and unwrap the foil a little, Commander Biff.
Roger Wilco, Captain Scooter. Would you look at that?
I'd say it was a baby T-Rex coming out.
It's kind of small and slimy. No way I'd eat that.
I'm hungry.
Ow! Damn thing bit me!
Well, it's probably hungry. Let's feed it some worms. I believe there's some in that dirt-filled shoebox on the shelf that we use for fishing.
Good idea. We can feed it until it's big enough for me to shoot, and then hang its head on the wall over my bed.
Yes, I know. That's always been a dream of yours ever since we watched that movie.
Did I mention that it's my favorite movie of all time?
You did. Okay, let's give it a worm. Say, look at that. It's eating it.
Feed me. Feed me.
Cool. And it's growing larger right before our eyes.
At this rate, there soon won't be enough room in here for the three of us.
Let's take it outside and see if it'll eat some grass and leaves.
Hey, it jumped out. After it.
Oh, it's gone to that big field across the street. We'll never find it there.
We have to try. It might destroy the world if we don't find it.
Oh, not here.
Not here.
Not here.
Not here.
Not here. Oh, it feels like we've been out here for hours, and I haven't seen a trace of it anywhere.
I haven't seen it either. Maybe we should just forget we ever saw it, so we don't get in trouble if it destroys the Earth.
There's another place we could look. Maybe it ran back to your house and killed your mom. Then we could go in and get our own cookies.
Good idea. Let's go look. Hey, Mom, are you dead yet? We want some cookies.
I thought I told you boys no. You've been gone less than 5 minutes and you're back already. Now get out of here before you both get paddled all the way to the moon.
I don't think I'd like that, but I've never been.
Shut up, Biff. Let's go play in the storm drains.
And quit slamming that screen door!
That dinosaur will turn up sooner or later. So, what do you want to do now?
I've always wondered what it would be like to have a baby.
I don't know. Hey, let's ask my mom for some cookies again.
Great idea. Of course, it's never worked before.
Hey, Mom, can Biff and I please have some cookies from that crummy cookie jar?
No. And if I wanted another mouth to feed, I'd go to the tavern and get drunk.
Is that how Scooter got here?
What? Listen, you brat. If we didn't have laws in this country, you'd be in a large pot with potatoes and carrots. I swear you boys will be the death of me. Now get out. I need to count the pigeons again.
Okay. Let's go, Biff.
Hey, your mom made a prediction. I wonder if it will come true.
It wasn't about cookies, so shut up. She's not the best psychic in town, but she's my mom.
Let's head to our big cardboard box that doubles as a spaceship plus time machine and see what happens.
Okay. Say, we need to clean this place. Let's blow some of the dust out and wipe down the control panel.
Roger, Wilco, Captain Scooter. I hit the randomizer.
Well, I wonder where we are this time.
The compass is spinning like crazy.
It could be we're at the North Pole. As soon as the smoke clears, we can get out and look around.
Oh, it's freezing out here.
Look at that! It's a bunch of penguins driving in a jeep!
Weird. Let's wave at them.
Looks like they saw us and are heading this way.
Those are penguins, and this must be the South Pole.
You're right. If it was the North Pole, they'd be polar bears in a jeep.
Hey, penguins! How's it going?
Penguins don't talk, do they?
They look kind of mean. Hey, penguins! Want some fish? Want some fish?
Maybe you shouldn't tease them like that.
Ow! Why did you just bit me in the finger?
Well, don't take that from him. Kick him.
Great. Now they're barking mad at us.
Back to the ship, Biff. Run for it.
They're chasing us in the jeep. actually made it. Say, I don't suppose we have time for me to go out and shoot one, you know, and Monet's head over my bad back home.
You told me you were going to shoot a dinosaur for its head.
Yes, next time we visit Jurassic Park, the penguin would just be for practice.
No, let's take off. Fly over the penguins and I'll teach them a lesson.
Roger, Wilco, Captain Scooter.
They're driving away. Fly right over them and I'll throw this can of beans.
Okay. Getting closer. Right over them. Now!
Here it goes. I hit one in the head. That'll teach him.
Teach him what?
Not to let his guard down.
Uh-oh. We're running low on gas. We'll have to go back home and refuel.
Good idea, Biff. How's that bite on your finger?
It's probably horribly infected. I suppose penguins have all kinds of weird bacteria and stuff.
I'm sure they do. You'll probably lose your whole arm, unless you get immediate medical treatment. Here's half an aspirin.
Thanks, Scooter. You saved my life.
You can show your appreciation by cleaning the ship once we've landed.
Coming in for a landing now. Okay. Once the smoke clears, we can get out.
I'm still hungry.
If I remember right, your mom said we'd be the death of her. I bet it's happened, and we can just step over her and get some cookies.
Hey, Mom, are you dead yet? We want some cookies.
I thought I told you boys no. You've been gone less than 5 minutes and you're back already. Now get out of here before you both get paddled all the way to the moon.
You talk about the moon like you've been there.
Shut up, Biff. Let's go play in traffic.
And quit slamming that screen door!
So now what?
Well, there's that trip to the moon your mom keeps predicting. Other than that...
I just had an idea. Let's ask my mom for some cookies.
A cookie would be nice now that you mention it. Do you think we've worn her down yet?
We must be getting close. Hey, Mom. Can Biff and I have some cookies from that old cookie jar?
No, and it's an antique.
I bet the cookies are antique also.
What? Listen, wise guy, it's time to clean up the house, and it would be good for my heart if you both helped.
I'll help clean out the cookie jar.
One of these days, I'm going to turn you inside out and hang you out on the clothesline for the birds.
Okay. Let's go, Biff.
Your mom sure has lots of energy.
Lay off my mom. She has a lot of stress being an unemployed psychic.
You think she could predict where there was a job?
At least she didn't predict our death by starvation. Where do you want to go now?
I've always wanted to visit Neptune.
Neptune and all those other gods were nothing but Roman mythology.
I meant the planet. I want to get as far away from your mom as possible right now.
Here we are. I'll just hit the randomizer.
You do that.
Well, once the smoke clears, we can get out and look around. Say, what's that noise?
It almost... sounds like a dog, which probably means we landed on Pluto.
I think you're right. Things might get a little rough out there.
Don't worry, I'm full of dogged determination.
Well, let's go out and look around, unless you need to pause a little longer.
No, that was the tail end of my bad puns for now.
Whew. It feels cold out here. I should have brought my coat.
It's dark also. Let's stay close to the ship in case we meet any crazy canines.
Turning on my flashlight. Look at the stars. How brightly they shine in this eternal night. What lonely spirits haunt this dark, forsaken landscape?
What? Don't get weird on me. You know I'm afraid of ghosts.
Sorry, I had a strange interlude.
I hope your mom doesn't find out. She'll have you seeing a doctor and lock you up in the loony bin, if they don't lock her up first.
Hey, shut up about my mom.
Sorry, I know her bark is worse than her bite.
I think... Hey, what's that in the distance?
I don't see anything.
Oh, I'm afraid our worst nightmare is about to come true.
No wonder we go to school naked.
No, you idiot. Listen. Oh, no. I know that voice.
It can only be our worst enemy. T-Rex.
I don't know how he's able to follow us no matter where we go. It's unnatural.
And scary, since it's so dark and we can't see him sneaking up on us, which I'm sure he's doing at this very moment.
Too bad you never have that gun when you need it.
One of these days, I'm going to shoot him and cut his head off and nod it over my bed back home.
I will help you.
Dude! Run for the ship! He's right on top of us!
Oh, we barely made it that time. Good thing he doesn't know how to chew through cardboard.
I'm not taking any chances. I'm getting us out of here.
Good idea. And I'm still feeling hungry.
So am I. Oh, here we are, safe and sound back home.
Thanks, Commander Biff. Once again, you've shown that you are an excellent space pilot.
Thanks. You know what I was thinking? There's a very small chance your mom had a heart attack while we were gone.
Oh, no. We better go check. Hey, Mom, are you dead yet? We want some cookies.
Yeah, what he said. Uh-oh, Scooter. Look, your mom's sitting at the table with her head down and she isn't moving. I think it's finally happened. Quick, to the cookie jar.
Hold it right there. I knew if I faked my death, you boys would care more about the cookies than about me. Now go upstairs and take your pet lizard out of my bathtub.
She must have found her missing T-Rex. Maybe he's big enough to shoot now.
You run up and get him. Mom, I'm really glad you're not dead. You had me going there for a minute.
I predict you'll learn a good lesson from this.
You're right. From now on, we'll look for a way to get those cookies without asking.
Got him, Scooter. Let's go.
See you later, Mom.
You've been listening to The Scooter and Biff Show, written by Richard Bell, and produced by Steve Brown and Mike Ulstrup. The part of Scooter was played by Ryan Farrell. Biff was played by Andrew Potter, who also performed the voice of the dinosaur. The part of Mom was played by Vicky Dumay. And yours truly, Glenn Garside, was your announcer. Scooter and Biff, two fine young boys, and I cannot think of a better lead-in to these very special public service announcements, once again written by Mr. Richard Bell. Ladies and gentlemen, our announcer.
This announcement is brought to you by the Institute for Metaphysical Meandering, which wishes to remind you that if you weren't you, someone else might be. But how would you know? It has been asked in the past, how many angels can dance on the head of a pin? Maybe only five can. Or maybe all of them can dance on the pin if they make themselves really, really tiny. But what kind of dance would it be? A foxtrot? A waltz? Or would they form a mambo line and go around and around and around? When you find out, please keep it to yourself, because we don't want to start another holy war. This has been a public service announcement. This next announcement is brought to you by the University for Metaphysical Thought, who wish to remind you that they are much smarter than the people at the Society for Metaphysical Thinking. Friends, have you ever wondered about electricity? What really happens inside those wires when you plug something in? We can now reveal the truth. inside the wires are snakes and elephants. You see, those snakes go up the wires and the elephants slide down the wires. They do this very quickly because elephants don't like snakes one bit, and snakes are very afraid of elephants. This causes a lot of friction and heat, which then goes inside the device you plugged in and makes it work. Now you know as much about electricity as we do. This has been a public service announcement.
And now it's time for our ongoing series about the folks at Boca del Rio, Phase 3, in It's the Professor!
It's the Professor! Mona, it's the Professor! Are you ready yet? Mona!
What?
Are you ready?
Why?
Why? Because the Professor's at the door. He's here to take us to the airport. There's the bell again. Get out here!
Let the man in. Why do you need me there to do that?
That woman will be the death of me. Tootsie, what are you doing here?
Oh, I saw the lights on so early in the morning while I was driving by going to get my bagel and schmear, and I thought something might be wrong. So I thought I'd better stop to make sure and see if I could help with something. I never see the lights on so early when I'm driving by. Of course, I don't usually get up this early myself, but I just couldn't sleep for some reason. So I thought I'd better get up and get my day started. I do like the ocean so early. I just don't like getting out of bed to see it. Of course, I was used to getting up early with my second husband, Stan. You know, he was in the import business and was always having to get to the airport to catch a plane to some cockamamie place somewhere in the world. Of course, he was usually flying to Asia. Oh, everything is so cheap there that he could bring it back here and make a fortune. But that was long ago. Now I just sleep as long as I want to. So, is everything okay?
Yeah. We just got up early to get to the airport. We're flying to New York to visit the kids for Passover.
Tootsie, what are you doing here? I've got such a head cold. Irving, I thought you said Leland was here.
I thought it was him. What else is up? Who else is up this early?
Well, I am. Mona, I was just telling your husband that I saw the lights on while I was driving by to get my bagel and schmear, and I thought something might be wrong, so I thought I'd better stop to make sure, see if I could help with something. I never see the lights on so early when I'm driving by. Of course, I don't usually get up this early myself, but I just couldn't sleep for some reason, so I thought I'd better get up and get my day started. Not that I have much to do today, although I do want to get to the butcher right away and order the lamb for the Seder. So have you noticed the price of lamb lately? It is sky high. Of course, it's not as expensive as the gasoline. Oh, and that Cadillac takes gasoline, let me tell you. I told Stan not to get me that car, but he insisted, said not to worry about the gas. But now where is he, God rest his soul? Of course, he left me plenty of money for the gasoline. But it's the principle of the thing. Gas shouldn't be that expensive. Oh, I know what you mean. Irving and I thought we would drive up to New York. You know, a leisurely drive north, take in some sights, see the trees blooming, and we have our own car once we got to New York. But this price of gas is crazy. We decided to fly instead. Not that that is cheap these days, but Irving found these flights on the internet that aren't too bad. Only we have to leave at this godforsaken time in the morning. Yeah, so you have the rest of the day with your grandchildren. Irving, get the door. It's the Professor. So why is Leland here?
He's taking us to the airport. Marty, what are you doing here?
I saw the lights and thought something was wrong, so I thought I'd better see and find out.
No, nothing's wrong.
Marty, what are you here for?
I saw the lights and thought something was wrong, so I thought I'd better see and find out.
Yeah, okay. But what are you up so early for? You never get up this early.
Yeah, I don't like getting up early, but I have to go to the airport to pick up Adasa. She's coming down for Passover.
She? What about her daughter?
Her ex-husband is for Passover this year. She was just going to spend the holiday by herself, so we told her to come down here and spend it with us. But she gets this cheap flight that gets here at this crazy time of the morning.
Well, that's That's like us. Everything is so expensive these days. They force you to take these flights at these fakakta times. Oh, I know. I went skiing in February and paid an arm and a leg to get to Utah. And they treat you so badly at the airport, I practically had to get naked to go through that checkpoint.
I'd like to see Chitsy, you, naked at the airport.
Morty, you dirty old man. But I'll tell you what, I'll get naked if you get naked.
Oh, saved by the bell.
Maybe now it's the professor. Finally, it's the professor.
Good morning, Irving.
Hi, Irving. Hi, Leland. You're looking good this morning.
Why, thank you, Chitsy. You are looking especially nice yourself. What brings everyone here this morning?
Oh, no one is used to seeing lights on this early in the morning, and everyone keeps checking on us.
Do you blame us? Say, when you get this old, we gotta look out for each other.
But where is Estelle?
Estelle? She really gets out of bed before the crack of 10.
Hey, we girls need our beauty sleep.
Beauty sleep? Estelle would have to sleep till next Passover for that to make a difference.
Well, we should get going, if you don't mind me saying.
Leland, you're right. Irving, where's Irving? Irving, where did you go? We have to get going. We'll miss our flight.
All right, let's go.
Say, Professor, you're going to the airport, right?
Yes, Monty.
And you were coming back here afterwards?
Yes, it's spring break at the university.
Would you mind picking up Adasa, my daughter, and bringing her back here? Only if it's no trouble, though.
Morty, I'd be happy to. But how will I know where she will be?
Yeah. This is the flight information. I'll text her a message to look for your car. A Mercedes, right?
That's right, a small silver one.
Small. It's a Mercedes.
It's just a car.
Oh, enough with the German cars. Let's get going. Irving, get the bags.
Thanks a lot, Professor. See you at cocktail hour.
We're on our way.
Finally, it was like getting like Grand Central Station in there.
Oi, Bona. What was that dinner you fed me last night?
It was a bag dinner. You've had them before.
A bag dinner? What's a bag dinner?
It's a frozen dinner that comes in a bag.
In a bag?
Yeah, in a bag. You take it out of the freezer, pour it in a fry pan, it's ready in 10 minutes. But this trip, I didn't have time to cook.
Oh, man. It's doing a number on my gut.
Oh, take a Maalox to be quiet. We've had those big dinners before. They're convenient.
So is indigestion. Did you cook it enough? Could it be bad?
Irving, there was nothing wrong with the bag dinner.
Say, Professor, you ever heard of a bag dinner?
Well, actually, I have. I cook them for myself now and then.
See, Irving, and Leland isn't dying.
The professor is younger than I am. When you get older, your stomach gets more sensitive.
Oy, and when you get older, I get the biggest headache. You could kill a horse.
JetBlue, right?
That's right, JetBlue.
Here we are, then. Got everything?
Yeah. We're all set.
Thanks, Leland. We owe you one.
Don't even think twice about it. Have a good trip.
Bye.
Bye, thanks.
Now to find Hadassah.
Leland? Are you Leland McMillan?
Hadassah? Good to meet you.
Same here.
Let's get your bags in the trunk. How was your flight?
Good. Crowded plane, though. They really jam you in these days.
Yes, they do. Your parents are very glad you came to visit.
Yeah, I know. Of course, my mother warns me that a death is imminent any time I suggest I might not come down here.
I know what you mean. My mother used to be that way, too. I never knew when to believe she was really sick or not.
Used to be?
Yes, used to be. My mother passed about 10 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was a blessing. She had cancer really bad. Not that she gave up. I swear she had the priest give her last rites at least 10 times just to be safe. And she had a glass of whiskey every evening until she died.
She would have fit right in at Boca del Rio, Phase 3. Oi, everyone loves their cocktails at that place. I swear, my parents are always at that bar. Having a shot, more cocktails.
Yes, indeed. The clubhouse is a very active place.
You seem a little young to have moved in there.
Maybe, but I like the convenience of it all, and I just didn't want the hassle and, frankly, loneliness of living in some house or apartment complex by myself.
So, tell you what, Let's go to dinner one evening while I'm in town. You aren't going away, are you?
No, I'll be around. Spring break will be over for me. And I've been going stir-crazy hanging around the development. It'd be fun to go out to dinner one night.
Great. It'll be fun. And besides, I'll need a break from my mother.
Now, where's Matthew? There are so many people here.
Matt, I'm over here.
On the berries. Matthew, over here.
Welcome back to New York. Let's get your bags and get home. Rebecca has a nice lunch all set for you.
Rebecca? No kids. The boys won't be here. Oh, Matthew, I have such a head cold.
The boys are in school.
In school? On Passover?
Passover's tonight. They get home about 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock? Is that enough time? It doesn't seem like enough time.
Trust me. Rebecca would rather have them out in her hair while she's getting everything ready.
I hope we're not in the way.
Ma, you're not in the way. You can take care of the kids when they get home. They have all sorts of things to talk to you guys about.
That's great. Now, let's get the heck out of here.
Asher, Bubby has a head cold. Are you all ready to ask the question tonight at dinner? Yes, Bubby, I did it last year, too. I remember how. And you did a fine job. It's just that the question is a great responsibility, and only the youngest at the meal can ask them. Without that question, it can't be Passover. It's all up to you. Really? Really. Okay, get ready. Your grandfather is breaking the matzah. Okay, you're on. Why is this night different from all other nights?
We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, but Adan Adani, our God, brought us forth with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm.
That was the second episode of It's the Professor. Keep up with the gang at Boca del Rio, Phase 3, next time on Saturday, May the 19th. The stars of It's the Professor were Irving Greenberg, John Oleksky, Mona Greenberg, Vicky Dumay, Morty Edelstein, Andrew Potter, Chitsi Katzenberg, Vicky Dumay, Leyland McMillan, Siegfried Christoph, Hadassah Morgenstern, Terry Myers, Matthew Greenberg, Ryan Farrell, and Asher Greenberg, Vicky Dumay. Support for the WGTD Radio Theater and our own cartoon network comes from the Kenosha law firm of Aaliyah, Dumay, Dunn, and McTernan, and by the not-for-profit Brown Ulstrup Performing Arts Foundation. Join us on Saturday, May the 19th, for the next edition of the WGTD Radio Theater. Because we must leave you very soon for Giuseppe Verdi's opera Macbeth, let us once again enter the mind of Richard Bell for these public service announcements. Once again, here is our distinguished announcer.
Our next announcement is brought to you by the people of the Academy for Metaphysical Ideas, who wish to remind you that what you see is what you get, unless, of course, you have some sort of problem with your eyes. Have you ever considered the essence of time? We say things like, time flies, or time stood still, or let's have a time out. But what do we really know about time? With centuries behind us and centuries ahead of us, why are we here now? Is there something we can play with, or is time precious and not to be wasted? Do people take the time to consider things like this? Usually not, but we need time to talk about time, and this is it. So be sure to take the time today to be in the moment and enjoy the time you have, because one day you're not going to be on this earth anymore, and then what? This has been a public service announcement. Our next announcement is brought to you by the Institute for Metaphysical Thought, who wish to merge with the Organization of Metaphysical Whimsy, who wish to remind you that questioning authority will only get you in hot water. A man was walking down the road with his friend when he stopped in front of a small rock that was on the ground. He turned to his friend and said, "I'm going to do something for this rock that it could never do for itself." The man then kicked the rock further on down the road. Impressed and wanting to seem equally wise, the other man thought a bit and then said, "I'm going to do something for you that you could never do for yourself." And he picked up the rock and threw it at his friend. This has been a public service announcement, but we're not quite sure why.
We leave you now with heartfelt thanks for listening to today's live broadcast of the WGTD Radio Theatre. This has been a production of WGTD HD, your public radio station for Kenosha, Racine, Lake Geneva, and Elkhorn. And to the auspices of the not-for-profit Brown Alstrup Performing Arts Foundation located in Salem, Wisconsin, on the web at brownalstrupfoundation.org. For the WGTD Radio Theatre and the 91.1 Players, I am Glenn Garside. Stay tuned for the Metropolitan Opera's live broadcast of Verdi's Macbeth here on WGTD HD. Thank you for joining us today for the WGTD Radio Theatre.
The WGTD forecast from the National Weather Service. Some clouds and fog this afternoon with a slight chance of some additional light rain showers. Tomorrow should be a much improved over today, mostly sunny skies with temperatures in the 60s and 50s. Right now, clouds and 53 degrees. A reminder, Wisconsin Public Radio is in the middle of its spring pledge drive, and your support would be appreciated. The number to dial is 888-202-2889. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. It's high noon.
We're live at the Metropolitan Opera House in New York City. I'm Margaret Juntwaite. Today, acclaimed baritone Thomas Hampson takes on the title role in Macbeth, Verdi's gripping opera based on the Shakespeare tragedy. Soprano Nadia Mikael makes her network debut as the ruthless Lady Macbeth, and Maestro John Andrea Nozeda conducts. During intermission, we'll hear from our stars, and after the performance, there will be a presentation on stage in honor of Hampson's 25th anniversary with the Met, and we'll carry that tribute for you. Stay with us.
This performance is being broadcast live over the Toll Brothers Metropolitan Opera International Radio Network, sponsored by Toll Brothers, America's luxury home builder, with generous long-term support from the Annenberg Foundation and the Vincent A. Stabile Endowment for Broadcast Media, and through contributions from listeners worldwide.
I'm Margaret Juntwaite, and commentator Ira Siff is with me. Verdi wrote Macbeth well before his other great Shakespeare settings, Othello and Falstaff. He composed Macbeth in 1847, and then he revised it in 1865, which is the version we're hearing today. So, Ira, it's interesting that Shakespeare figures in Verdi's early, middle, and late work.
Yes, these plays inspired Verdi to outdo himself with all kinds of inventiveness, vocal, orchestral, structural.
And there's a tremendous urgency to the music in Macbeth. It's very powerful. We have an exciting pair of singing actors in the leads today.
You know, I can't believe it's more than 25 years since Tom Thomas Hampson's Met debut, it feels like yesterday. And Nadia Mikhail, who sung Lady Macbeth quite a bit in different houses, made her Met debut less than 2 weeks ago.
And she throws herself into the role. This is also Hampson's first run singing Macbeth at the Met.